into His presence. Yeah, we walk right in boldly. Boldly He's given us access by His grace through faith. Hallelujah. Jesus, our hope. Is that a sure thing? Yeah, where is our hope found? It's found in Him. And where is He found? He's found in the presence of our Father, ever making intercession for us. That just thrills my soul just to think about that. My God, my Savior, the everlasting Lord, who has dominion here on this earth, through us and in us and through us, to speak forth His Word. What an honor and what a privilege to come give Him praise together, to come worship together, to move into His presence like we have. Not the last time, but every day, every second of the day, praying always without ceasing. What is that? I don't know why that came to mind. But spending time talking to the Lord, to the One that cares so much for us, that loved us so much and sent His Son. Oh, to bask in His presence. Just to jump in that stream, jump in that river alongside the throne. Oh, that healing. Vicki's talking about that earlier. That healing, that's ours. And if we have access to the throne, well, guess what's there? It's joy. It's peace. It's righteousness. And where we stand. And where we're seated. And who God is to us. That banqueting table. I can just imagine. I was trying to envision this the other day. The banqueting table that is set for us in heaven. And I'm thinking, that's not going to be a very quiet place. I'm thinking, man, if you don't like noise, if you don't like joy, you're not going to like that. You know, and I'm thinking, and we are invited to that. We're invited to that, to sit down with each other and with the Lord and with all the saints that have gone on before us and just enjoy the presence of our God. And what a privilege. We can do that right here, right now, is enjoy that Holy Spirit that's within us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It dwells in you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I give You praise this day. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for just leading and guiding and keeping us, Father, in this time, in this season. Father, I know You're not bound by time. You're not bound by space, Lord, in our lives. But You can do as You please, Father, and You sent Your Word, and it's not going to return to You void. Father, we look into Your Word this day. Father, I pray that it come forth through me unabated, just as sweet as honey, Lord. To the hearer, let it bring strength. Let it bring joy. Let it bring blessing. Let it bring promise, Lord, of Your soon coming. And we look to You. We want to have our lamps ready. Father, we want to be ready in the season, in the instant, in and out, Father, when You call us to speak forth in this land, Father. And we just give You praise this day. We give You glory and we give You place in our hearts. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. In Jeremiah, He says, I'll write it upon your heart. He'll put it right on there plain. He'll let us know Him. I'm so glad we can come just to know Him in His fullness. That's our place. That's our place.
I was watching a preacher earlier today.
He said, you could just see it was so full. You know, I was watching him on TBN. I don't know what channel it was, but he said, I overprepared. And I kind of feel like that. You know, you got Mike on steroids when he's in the Word like he was this week. It's, you know, I'm searching. Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? It's all about Him. It's not about me. And Lord, I want to be that vessel, and I want to go there, and I want to say this. Because that's what's going to affect change. Vicki and I are seeing changes, multiple changes coming again. Life-changing things in our lives as of late. But I so enjoy those. I know there's a lot of guys that don't, but I do. I do. Opportunity for my God to move in my life and in our lives. And that we might see His glory. Every time I lost a job, I don't know where you're at in your job searching, your jobs, but every time I lost one, a smile would come on my face. I'd walk out the door. God bless you. I'm going on. I'm going to do what the Lord has called me to do and where He's called me to go. And I'm going to see His hand move in behalf of me and my family. He's going to provide. He is my provider. He's my El Shaddai. That's who He is to us. That's part of that table that's available to us today. I'm getting there. I know you got your pen ready. I didn't make even up a sheet to pass out with the scriptures on. If you want them, sometime I'll get them to you. But if you want them to write down, I'm going to try to go slow. I'm going to try. I'm going to try to remember what the Holy Spirit... I dreamed all week long. I had faces. I could go prophesy to about half of you in here. Because just the Holy Spirit put you on my heart. And that's just the way it was. And that was fine with me. That was okay. But just the scriptures and the things and the where the Lord is just speaking to us. Has the Lord been speaking to anybody this week? Has anybody been hearing it? Are we having the ears to hear it? You know, faith comes by hearing. Not by sight, but by hearing. Faith is the substance. That's the evidence. The hope is the guarantee. And that's our Lord sitting in the throne room saying, I guarantee this. I guarantee it. That's the hope. So when I put my faith to work, and I'm not looking at things, and I'm allowing that to grow in me, where's my faith? That's, you know, each one of us has been given that seed. But what have we done with it? Where is it going? Is it growing up into that great tree in us? God is just, I got to slow down. Lord, help me. You know, I listened a month ago. I don't know, Dave was here. He was talking about being pruned. And I heard that. And I walk in that. Gladly, Lord, prune me. Gladly. That's not a hard thing. When you know you got a loving, loving, caring Father. That's not a hard thing. But we need reminded of things once in a while like that. It's like Shay. I didn't listen to the whole sermon. Tearing down the altars, you know. Getting rid of the idols in our lives. Getting rid of the... You know, a few weeks ago, Lord said, what's got you captive? What's got you held? What draws your sight? You know, that thing, we got to let that go. My appetite. I meditated on that all week long. Where's my appetite? I took a picture of what I ate last Sunday. I was going to send it to you, but I didn't. It was good, though. It was very good. You want to know what it was? It was sauerkraut and kielbasa. And that's always good.
But you know what's even better is the leftovers. According to my wife, the leftovers are Reubens with the sauerkraut. So I enjoy all. I get two meals out of one. But you know, the Lord, what are you focusing on, Mike? And you know, I began to focus on Him this week, and it just started filling me. You know, when we get in the Word and we start reading the Word and we start meditating on that Word, that starts filling us. And then the Lord wants to prune that. He wants to pick that fruit and start using that and start showing His glory and His love to those around us, to the nations, wherever He takes us. That's our world. Taking the limits off. Now, looking at me, it's that, I don't know. Taking the limits off of me would be kind of hard, don't you think? But, you know, we limit. We limit a lot of things in our lives. You know, we settle. We settle for a lot of things. We can, like Vicki and I, we can look at our children and say, well, you know, this one, they're all doing good. They're blessed. But to get in the place where God would want to have them and want to use them and that vision and that dream. You know, we all have visions and dreams. And if we don't, I should combine pincher or something here, but, you know, God created us to have an imagination. You know, and have we lost that from a youth? You know, the Lord took me back into my youth, I mean, quite a while ago this week. And He said, remember those things. Remember those images. Remember those visions. Remember those dreams. I was a big daydreamer in the day. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. God has set the captive free. He set us free to worship Him. He's given us an entrance into His presence. He is a loving Father, one that works with us. I had so many dreams in my youth. And of course, I was the hero. I can remember waking up. I was the hero, man. I could fly. I could move like Superman. You remember those days? Or is that too long ago? Maybe I can come up in my teens and talk about something, but I just, you know, and I think, Lord, You put those there. Those innocent, childlike thoughts and dreams and imaginations, You put those there. As with those that have children now, God has put dreams in them. And the things I used to do were kind of dangerous, I would say, in retrospect. But we used to dress up as a kid to go outside in weather like this, only we used to have a lot more snow from what I remember in the day. And the streams would freeze over. And I went out with these two neighbors of ours. I went to school with them, same grade. One was from a military family and the other was from a horse farm. So I had a real rounded... I grew up in the park over in Limestone. About 2 miles up Limestone Run, it was almost at Red House Lake. Thunder Rocks, and parents used to take me over there. We could watch the bears eat from the garbage dump. That's back in the day, because there was a garbage dump over there. But anyway, us boys, we'd get all dressed up, and you remember the bread sacks? The bigger bread sacks? Yeah. Well, anyway, my mom and I... it used to take us kids and go over to Stroman's or wherever it was in Olean and to the bread store. And we'd get our Twinkies and whatnot. Well, she'd save all these sacks. Well, I put them to good use because I'd put them on with my boots. And I don't know if anybody's ever done that. And lace my boots up just as tight as I could get them and get all ready. And then I'd go out with the boys and we had this stream that ran the valley. And we'd break ice. We were invincible. We could do that. We could go for miles each way and do that and have fun in the Lord. You know, when we come into the presence of the Lord, it ought to be fun. It ought to be, what is the kingdom of heaven? Righteousness, peace, and joy. You know, come before His presence with gladness. Yes, dancing. But that's, you know, just one of the silly things I did as a youth. And I'm so thankful where I had the place to grow up in that, because as a youth I was raised in a Christian home from say 5 to this age, what I'm talking about, 8 to 12, and I had a heritage of knowing the Lord, and that brought all this into focus. That God just blessed me with a wonderful childhood. And the imagination that I could have and the things that I could do. We used to dress all up and make sure the gas and the oil was in the motorcycle. I had an old Honda 50 with a big sprocket on it. So we would go looking for the biggest hill and the muddiest trail. And just go for miles and miles. Us boys, again, we all had the same bike, and we would take off and go. We were invincible. There was no limit to what we couldn't do or where we couldn't go. If I had to push the bike up the hill, it went. And the Lord is saying, take the limits off. Where is our imagination gone? Where have the dreams gone? Where have the visions gone? You know, you talk about wanting revival or wanting a refreshing. You know what it boils down to? Boils down to hunger. It boils down. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. After righteousness. We want to be filled. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. But we got to take the limits off. Am I getting across this is sermon one. There's a place where the Lord wants me to go. Isaiah 54:13. And this speaks to the heritage, as Vicki said earlier, and Dean said something to me about the children. And all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And our worship spoke of that peace. And we were proclaiming that peace. That was your opportunity to proclaim that peace in your family, in your heritage, the people that you have contact with. They're part of you. Childlike worship is ready praise that is vocal and it's visible. When my little kids had something to say how much they loved their dad, it wasn't quietly in their seat. Never. But they were on top of me. Daddy, I love you. You know, whatever it was for. It's vocal and visible in our celebration. And I think David, as an example, was our chief example in that. Through the Psalms. I think he even quoted some of the scripture that I had. Okay. Psalms 131, David's looking to God as a small child for everything in a way a child looks to its mother. I'm looking it up here. Well, let's look at it. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. That's like overthinking it. Surely, I have calmed and quieted my soul. You know, when we had that opportunity, we are in that right now. We're in that place of peace. In His presence, there is peace. In His presence, there is joy. In His presence, there's love. You know, the Lord, He is complete. He has all we need. He's El Shaddai. Glory to God. He has it all. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David knew who his daddy God was. You know, take the limits off. That's my daddy. That's my father. My daddy. Hebrews 8:6. But now he obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. We talked about the covenant. We're covenant people. We are in that covenant. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's a sure thing. Study it out. Hebrews 7:22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. A better covenant. You know, when I was a little kid, when my dad said something, that was so. That's the way it was. That was a sure thing. Well, we have Jesus. We have a heavenly Father that's looking over us. And listening to us. And when we cry out to Him, when we ask Him in His name, He hears us. It's a sure thing. It's a promise that He is mediating that covenant. He is drawing us close to Him. How are we approaching the Word in those promises? We have better promises. I like to look at Abraham in Genesis 22, when he was taking Isaac to sacrifice him. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship." And Abraham knew something in this next statement. "And we will come back to you." He knew something. You know, how confident are we in the promises of God? Abraham knew that that was the promise. And he knew that he would come back with him. That God was able to raise him from the dead. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father. "And I can't imagine my son doing this and me having to answer him, my father." And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself. He knew something. He knew something. He had that confidence. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. When something comes against you that's not of God, speak to it. This too will pass. This has no place in the temple of the Holy Ghost. What is it? What is it in our lives? Abraham knew. That was confident of the promise. What promises are sure? What promises do we knew? No. When a problem arises, are we looking in the Word and saying, this is what the truth says? You know, we are inundated with a lot of facts. But the truth of God's Word is eternal. That's eternal. That's forever. That stands. When all the world's shaken and everything in it, the things that are eternal are going to stand. You know, things in this life are temporal. They're not permanent. They're subject to change, and they're subject to the Spirit. They're subject to God's Word. God's Word is Spirit. It is truth. And it will be established here on the earth. It will be established in Vicki and my life and my family. Those that came before me that taught me how, and these that come after me that I'm being the example, that I'm walking it out before you. I walk it out. We're living epistle. We're a book. Denise, God's writing your book. He spoke to me this week and he said, he's writing it. He's writing it. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. As the woman with the issue of blood said within herself, and when faith comes, it speaks. She said it, and she kept saying it, and saying it, and saying it. If I could only touch his hem. I could see her going through the crowd, trying to get to him. Jesus, Jesus, if I can only touch your garment, if I can only touch your garment, I'll be made whole. And what happened when she got there? She was made whole. You know, keep saying in yourself. Keep saying in yourself. Cast not away your confidence. For after you've done the will of the Lord, it will be done. It will be done to you. Yeah. What was it? The priest with him? I was trying to think who was with him. Jesus. Approaching the Word, we have better promises. Abraham knew that. Abraham knew that. And guess what? Well, not guess, but know. Know in your spirit, you have better promises than Abraham. The Word bears that out in Hebrews also. Hebrews, if you can't tell, is kind of my favorite little place to hang out. I meditate on that. You know, the Word says, meditate on me, day and night, that you might not sin against me. You want to be rock sturdy in your walk with the Lord? Get with the Word. Get with the Word. Get in it. Stay in it. Find that thing. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, God says He won't withhold any good thing from you. When the Holy Spirit came, when Jesus left and went, He says, it's expedient that I go to my Father, that I might send the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is essential in our life. It is power. It's life. And it leads and it guides us into all truth. Truth. The Word of God. Truth. We're walking in that. We walk in that. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Should I wait a minute? You looking? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, not fleshly. So when offenses come, and they're going to come, don't be swayed by those. Don't let them affect you. But speak the word. Speak the word. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing everything into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Behind a stronghold is a lie and a place of personal bondage. Shall I say that again? Behind a stronghold is a lie and a place of personal bondage. Behind every lie is fear. Is fear. Behind every fear is an idol. Is an idol. It's fake truth. It's not real. It only imitates. Idols are established wherever there exists a failure to trust in the provisions of God that are ours through Christ Jesus. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. God, I don't want to fail to believe you and your word. But I want to walk in that. I want to walk in that. And I just reminded of David. You know, hey, why haven't you killed that Philistine? You know, he's gone to the army to his brothers, and they're saying, "What are you doing here? What are you saying? You're just boasting." He says, I killed the bear. I killed the lion. What's this? What's this giant? What's this uncircumcised thing? Who does he think he is? You know? Trust God. Trust God. I can overcome. I can overcome. That's a promise. That's a promise. What we know. El Shaddai. Is that the right one? The God of plenty? The God of more than enough? Provider. Our provider? Is that good? Is that a promise? Is that his name? He'd have to change his name. Not to provide for you. He'd have to change his name not to be your healer. He'd have to change his name not to be my banner, my high tower, an ever-present help in time of need. He'd have to change his name because he's omniscient. Anyway, you know what I mean. And I'm so thankful. He doesn't change. He's unchanging. His promises are true. They're unchanging. We fail to look into them. Deep calls unto deep. Lord, where are you taking me? What are you showing me? What kind of fruit can I bear for you this week? What can I do? Who can I show the love of God? Oh, that uses me and abuses me. You know, the whole gamut of things. Who do you want to talk to, Lord? We just got this a new mattress. Anyway, it's way too high for me. It's like my feet are off the ground this far when I sit on it. So I don't have a hard time being reminded to do this, but every time before my feet hit the floor, hello, Lord. You're going to do a good thing for me, and I want to do a good thing. I want you to do a good thing through me. So, Lord, use me this day. Use me this day somehow. And I'm home alone most of the time. All week, I might have talked to two or three people, maybe. Maybe, but I spent time with the Lord. And like I say, I see faces. And I say, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want? What do you want me to pray about? What do you want me to do here where I can do it? I don't have to be an extraordinary, on top of the world, famous, multi-rich kind of person to serve God with my whole heart and know and see and move in the land and in the people. God wants to reveal that to you so you can walk in that. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. You're no small thing in His sight. 1 John 5, are you good with this? Shall we go on? Or shall we save? First John 5, 18 through 21. And this kind of follows down the line of, where's our appetite? We know, and I like the word when it says, we know. We know. So there's no argument. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. I think Vicki Tuck kind of said something to that effect. We're not swayed by the world in our walk with God. Jesus said it, He has nothing in me. You know, when we begin to look into the Word, we begin to understand, I have authority over this. I smoked in my youth. I had habits. I had addictions. I had things in my life that didn't belong there. And began to look into the Word, began to give God praise for deliverance. I began to say, in my soul, in myself, I don't need this. This is not part of me. This is not my testimony. This is not who God is to me. And eventually, asking the Lord to deliver, it changed. It changed. And it's the same today. It works the same today. Take the limits off. That's something I did 40 years ago, 30 years ago, quite a while ago. So you can, I'm a living testimony. You can have victory. I was pretty much an alcoholic too. I was there. Doing drugs, doing the things of the earth. It destroyed me, destroyed my first family. I had two other children. But God, and in my heart and in my soul, He's been speaking to me, restoration, restoration. But it takes a real hunger for Him. I know what brought me back out of the pit at that time in my life. I hit the bottom, wanted to die. It was worse than losing an arm to not be able to raise my children. That's how much that hurt. Like, God, I'd rather have you cut my arm off than to have to go through this. But I did. And the next day came, And the next day came. I got alone in my bedroom. I started reading through the Psalms. I started praying the Psalms. That's how identified with David I was. And a man after God's own heart. This is just some of my testimony here. This is the latter. This isn't the teenage years, which there's a lot of, Lord, you did good things, you know? And from here on, though, God, you're a God of restoration. God, you give me a new family. You give me a new life. You give me a new place. You gave me new provisions. You gave me new health. 15 years ago, I ripped one Achilles tendon, could hardly walk, injured it over and over. 7 or 8 years ago, I did the other one. And it had to be sewed back together. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever ripped an Achilles tendon, but that hurts. That's pain. And when I had the second one sewed back together, it was like, is this pain ever going to go away? But day by day, until now. And the interesting thing is, I ripped those tendons in church, getting up out of my seat to dance before the Lord. Now, Satan wanted to steal something from me. And I'm a living testimony that I can dance before my God. I can twirl. I can step back. I can step forward. I can do those things that He has called me. I can stand here for 20 minutes. I couldn't do that for the longest time. Stand in a place. Know exactly what I'm saying. But the Lord is healing me. He is carrying me on. You know, I could have taken the thought. I could have let my thoughts be taken captive. Instead of under the obedience of Christ, under the Word, I could have taken the thought, I'm going to be in a wheelchair in 10 years from now. I could have took that. And I could have run with that. But that's not me. That's not out of my heritage. And that's not what my living Savior has done for me. And I'm a living testament to at least that much healing. I know that God can do. I know that He can do. And I know He can do a lot more. I saw a lot in my youth. Growing up in a Pentecostal church, I saw deliverances. I saw healings. I knew in the 60s, we had Oral Roberts tent meetings going on at that time and Catherine Kuhlman going on at that time. And I can remember my mother, just the TV just on, and I'm watching this woman with these big sleeves. You know, some of you can identify, you know, and it's like, she's kind of funny. You know, as a kid, that's what you think. But I love her. I love what the Holy Spirit's doing through her. And that's who we are. We're all different vessels. And I love what the Holy Spirit's doing through you. I love what the Holy Spirit's doing through these two. I love what the Holy Spirit's doing through these two. I could prophesy over you. I'm behaving somewhat. It's 5 after 12. Are you good still? Do I got 10 more minutes? Okay. Is this good for you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't...
No.
I'm not too convinced here. Where were we? We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. That's where I'm at today. You cannot touch me, Satan. That is my weapon of praise. I will not be silent before my God. This week, I was laid out on the floor in the living room. I got these big speakers. You've seen them speakers. They probably put out more than these do. Some good praise music. I'm laying there on the floor. I'm in the presence of the Lord just glorifying Him all by myself. I got a tambourine in my room too. Just so you know. But if you don't like it loud, you don't want to be there with me. You don't want, at that banqueting table, maybe you want to sit a few down.
Praise you, Jesus. I can't wait. Paul knew something. Oh, it'd be wonderful to go home. But it's needful that I'm here. It's needful that I'm here. He knew something. It's like Abraham. He knew something. God would not take my son. He would not take my promise. It's mine. He doesn't give something and take it back. Paul knew something. God's grace is sufficient for him. And he can call those things that aren't as though they were. Paul knew. I'm going to live. It is needful for me to live. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, and His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. And in the Message, I kind of got a few points out of that. The Message Bible, God born, don't make a practice of sin. Now, are we going to make mistakes? Are we going to fall? Absolutely. But we know where to go. And we know that we're more than an overcomer. Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And if we're found in Him, and His Word abides in us, like that vine, we abide in the vine, we're going to bear fruit. And that fruit will become evident. That fruit we'll be able to share with the world. The evil one can't lay a hand on us. We know that. That's a promise. We're held firm by God. We're kept. We're a son of God. Came so we could recognize and understand truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Went to the Father, sent His Holy Spirit so that we might know the truth. And the truth is going to do what? It's going to set us free. It's going to set us free. Take the limits off. What is that freedom in your mind, in your heart? Forget the mind. The heart of God. What's He speaking to you? What's He saying through you? How does He want to use me? You know, Lord, what in me can you use? I bring myself. Well, what can you use? What can you do? We live in truth in God's Son, Jesus Christ. We know that. He is the true God and the real life. Who are we in Christ? Romans 4, 5 through 8. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And I thought, Lord, these are kind of interesting scriptures you gave me to make this point, but it makes it. It's Abraham. He knew something. He justifies the ungodly. His faith is accounted for righteousness. We have faith in Christ. Just as David. Here's another guy, convinced, also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. I just want to speak a little bit to the blessed, the blessedness of us. The definition of blessed alone thrills me. I'm happy. Of course, blessed. To be envied. Supremely blessed. Fortunate. Well-off. Pools. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalms 84, 4 through 12. And I think we'll look at that and call it good after that.
I have an admonishment at the end of this to worship. I believe that God in this time and in this day wants to remind us of the worship that we have for Him, how it is visible and it's vocal. Psalms 84, verse 4 through 12. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We live every moment of every day. We dwell in the house of the Lord, whose heart is set on a pilgrimage. And we know this. This is not our home. We are going through this land. This land is temporal. The things around about us are temporal. They're subject to change. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which is weeping, they make it a spring. I like how that's worded. They make it a spring. It just doesn't appear. It just doesn't happen because I know the Lord. But we make it a spring. And how do we do that? We speak the Word of God. We call those things that aren't as though they were. There are a lot of scriptures. The rain also covers it with pools. And I love that. The former and the latter rain of God. You know, we're in a day. We're in a latter rain day. The rain also covers it with pools. And those pools are blessings. So in that place of weeping, in that place of sorrow or whatever the problem may be, the tribulation, we make it a blessing. And it is rained on and filled up and covered with pools. A blessing. So we're not caught up in that thing that we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. We make it. They go from strength to strength. I love that. God gives grace to the humble. He hears the cry. He knows your need. He knows your need before you ask Him. I love that. But He loves you to ask Him and talk to Him and move. So as we go, each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold your shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly, O Lord God of hosts, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Take the limits off. Lord, I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you, and I know what your word is saying about it. So I'm going to speak that thing. That's what faith is. Faith is not seeing, it's hearing. Do we have the ears to hear it? Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is on a pilgrimage. In the valley, we make it a spring. Rain covers it with pools. We grow stronger. God reveals Himself. The Lord is a sun and a shield. He's grace and He's glory. We trust in Him. I might as well finish this. It's only... The Lord's been putting on my heart also in our time of worship. Vicki did the other week, shout joyfully unto the Lord. And all this is reminding In Psalms 95, 1 and 2, says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Psalms 98, 4 through 6 says, "Shout," guess what, that word, come up again, "shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the psalms, with trumpets and the sound of a horn." And I imagine them horns in David's day were pretty loud. Psalms 100, we already had. "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands." And the last scripture, Psalms 132, 9. "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. You've been made kings and priests unto Him. In His presence, and let your saints shout for joy." You know, it's so wonderful to be able to do that, to have that freedom we enjoy. And these are the weapons of our warfare. And they're not carnal, but they're mighty, to the pulling down of those strongholds, to the pulling down of those idols, those lies that Satan's been speaking to us all our lives. You can't do that. I don't know what it might be, but what's the Lord telling you to do? You know, are we acting in fear? Because that fear then becomes a lie. And then it becomes an idol. It becomes a thing that's taken us captive. Are we held in bondage by these things? Or are we going to allow the Lord to use us in that place and in this place of love? You know, I want to open it up. Testimony? Anybody got a praise report? Any kind of word that God would say? It doesn't have to be. It could be one word. You know, one word from God. You know, "Lord, just speak one word to me." You know? And I'll be satisfied. Contented. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain. And I give God praise to where He's brought us in our lives, in that place of peace that we were looking at this morning. Should I open it up? Or have I run too long for people? Would you like prayer? You want to give a praise? Where's the...
Right behind you.
Oh. You want to do it? Shock me. Glory to God. So good to see you too, Sherry. Yeah. Hallelujah.
This has more to do with what Vicki was sharing, but when she was sharing, I couldn't help but remember when, just before I first got saved, and the lady that led me to the Lord, we would stay up all night and she would have her Christian radio station on, and I'd be asking her questions and she would answer. And the Lord's love was just so overwhelming to me. And I, you know, I tried to share. I said, you know, I really feel the love of the Lord. He really loves me. And she said, "I know." And I said, "No, I don't think you understand." I mean, he loves me so much. And, you know, God's love is, it's really indescribable.
Endless.
We really can't contain it. We don't really have the words, you know, that are adequate. But it was really precious.
Hallelujah. You know, that kind of word, it brings confirmation to Vicki. If no one else is hearing that, you know, that's what we need. I need to be told once in a while, you know, I'm glad you're a part of the body. I'm glad you're a part of what God is doing in this body.
I keep hearing Jehovah Jireh, my provider over and over, and I've been wanting to share this for a couple of weeks. Some of you remember, I don't even know, maybe 5-6 years ago when the Lord blessed Jeremy and I with that teal-colored Bronco that I'm driving. And that Bronco came at a time when Jeremy had lost his job, and hence he lost the four-wheel drive truck that we needed to get into the into the driveway. It was, you know, a big hill. Well, when Jeremy passed away, that Bronco came back to me. And I just finished making the last payment on electricity in that home, and I was so excited that I had done that, as a single woman, widowed woman on my own. And, like, within a matter of weeks, my Jeep, the frame broke on it. And everybody was like, oh, that's terrible. And I was like, but he's already provided me with another vehicle. I mean, he'd already given it to me, you know, a couple years before. So, hence, I was able to still do my job because he knew that I needed that second vehicle. Well, I still need a second vehicle because this thing gets like 10 miles to the gallon, guys. And I do a lot of traveling sometimes with my job. And so I've been looking at other vehicles, and I know that the Lord's going to bring the right vehicle there. And, I mean, think about that. That other loan was just paid off, and I was like, yay. And I was so excited about having that extra money in my budget of not making that loan payment. Now I'm right back in the same boat again. Here's another way the Lord has provided. When I turned 60 in April, Katie shared a few weeks ago that she couldn't collect on her late husband's Social Security until she turned 60, and at the time, Katie was 50. However, I will be 60 in April and will be able to collect on that. And there is more than enough. Beyond. Mm-hmm. It just blows me away.
Beyond what you could imagine.
It just blows me away that God is so incredibly good.
Uh-huh.
He knows what we need before
we need.
And in the meantime, I just keep paying the gas and thinking, don't let the prices go super high.
Hallelujah. There. I could give a testimony on that, too. We were just talking about this. And I'm in the same place. God, I could never have imagined, nor dreamed, nor done any of this to really see where I was going to be today as far as provision, as far as God providing for us. But walking with Him and being faithful to do what he says in His Word to do, we've given cars, we've given trucks, we've given tractors, we have... God has used this in ways to give. We were given well over 30% of our income into the works that we've gone through the years. And God is faithful. He's not only faithful, but He takes you to a place. He took me and Vicki to a place where it's like, Lord, it's way beyond whatever I could imagine or think that You're going to do, you know. And those that are faithful in the little are going to be ruler over the much. And that you mete out to other people is going to be met back to you. And giving freely and giving gladly, He's going to, see, I've put this word in my heart. He loves a joyful giver. He loves a joyful. So we give out of our heart. Lord, I give out of my heart, whatever it might be in our life. Sermon number 4. I just, you know, like I said, you got Mike on steroids. I've been just devouring the word more than usual. Lord, I want to be prepared, over-prepared. But I bless you. I give God glory, all the glory. Amen. He has strengthened me. He has provided for us. He has restored a lot of the relationships He is going on with us. Amen. As we walk it out with Him, we work out our salvation. Hallelujah. We walk it out with Him. We let that kingdom grow up and shout it. Shout it joyfully. So I read, Father, in the name of Jesus, let this week be a revelation to our spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear as you talk to us through this week, Father. Put it in our heart. Put a hunger in our heart to seek hard after you. And you will be found. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for showing up, Daddy. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. If you need prayer, we're here. We're here, but come quickly.